Joel and Laurie and the children with you folks. And since Joel came into our family and stole my beautiful daughter there, I've made a lot of trips up this place. This is sort of a second home to me up here. And so I appreciate what's going on at this church. You know, one of the Americans, I better get on my sermon right quick because the kid's going to come in here at 7:30. So, but I appreciate your stand for the Word of God. Now, long as a church believes the Bible, it'll go straight. And I mean, just believe what God teaches in His Word. You'll never go wrong by just building your faith and your life and your eternity on the Word of God. And I thank God for Brother Joel and this church in that direction. And so I'm going to get right into preaching here tonight. Since I know that the kid's going to invade, hit the place in just a few minutes, I'm going to have to be through before 7:30. But I think that I'm going to have to cut most of my sermon out or some of it out tonight. But we'll just wait and see. I'll preach till 7:30 and then I'll just cut her off. But let's turn to Hebrews. And I'll just read this. I was going to write and read it in my message. But Hebrews, the 9th chapter. And it's one of the great, most preachers have preached on this, and Brother Jules probably, but I just felt I was in a church 46 years as pastor. I've got thousands of sermons stuck here and there. And this is one that the Lord laid on my heart to preach up here. And it's a great passage, one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the Word of God. Hebrews 9, verse 24, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this privilege one more time this side of eternity of standing before the people and have this privilege of declaring the eternal word of God. Thank you for this church and its faithfulness down through the years. Now, Lord, I can't preach unless you help. And so I pray that the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God and bless it to the hearts of these dear people here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I heard a country preacher down in Tennessee one time say, "Folks, I'm gonna give you a dose of medicine, the best medicine in the world, and it's the Word of God. So I'm going to give you a dose of the best medicine tonight in the world, the Word of God." And I'm gonna preach to you on the appearances of Christ and the appointments of men. And I'll quit at 7:30. Whenever I get to there, I'll quit. But first, there's the three works of Christ, tenses of his works here in this passage. And I'll read it as I go through on these three works, and I'll refer you to the Word of God. And the first is in verse 26, the past tense. Look at verse 26. "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." The reason that Christ came into this world and was born of a babe in a manger there in Bethlehem was that he didn't come to start a new religion. He didn't come to do miracles or die a martyr's death, though he was all of that. He did all of that, but that's not the reason he came. In this verse it says, it clearly states that he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice for himself. He was born to die. but we're born to live, but he was born to die. Notice the first part of that verse there in verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. Now, the cross of Christ wasn't just an accident. It didn't catch God by surprise when Jesus, but it was planned in the counsel of God before there was ever a world. It was planned for Christ to come into this world. And so the reason he came, man has a problem. We don't like to admit it, but we're sinners. And we have the sinful nature that we gained from Adam. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Christ had to go to Calvary. And he bled and died on Calvary's cross to get for our sin problem. He died. If we look to him, he'll and trust him and his shed blood on Calvary's cross, that faith in the shed blood of Christ covers our sin. And the day of judgment, he'll pass over us because we're under the blood. And there's only one way to get rid of this sin problem and get your soul right with God, and that is trust Christ as your personal Savior. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, when you receive him, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. It's too good to be true. Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by with his stripes, we are healed. What a wonderful plan. It's amazing. And I thank God for it. And there's only one way that you can get rid of that sin problem, is to just get born again. And when you receive Christ into your heart, then the sin problem is all of our sins, past, present, and future sins. I've been a Christian now for, over 70 years. And I didn't realize it when I came to Christ and trusted him and got saved in a revival meeting many, many years ago. I didn't realize it, but I've been under the blood of Jesus Christ all these years. Isn't that wonderful? And under the blood of Christ. And I've not always been the Christian that I ought to have been. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, just keeps on forgiveness of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Thank God for that tonight. And so in my devotions a while back, I was in Matthew 27:46, it said, Jesus, as he hung on the cross there, he said, my God, there he was, bleeding and marred and bruised and tossed the spear in his side and dying. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why that God forsook Jesus? God can't look on sin. And my sins and your sins were placed on Jesus on that cross. And God turned the other way because God can't look on sin. And, you know, I was reading in my devotions a while back, Matthew 27:46, where Jesus said, my God, thou hast forsaken me. And it hit me that God turned his back on Jesus because of my sin was on him. And your sin was on Jesus there on the cross. Isn't that one? I can't understand, but I think, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious, 'tis the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I'll say, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven. Realize you're a sinner. Humble yourself before God. Open your heart. Receive him as the Holy Spirit leads you. Speaks to your heart. And then when Christ comes in, his blood is applied to your heart and life. That's the only way you're going to make it to heaven. Well, let's look at a second tense of Christ's work here. And that is in verse 24. Look at verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but notice, into heaven itself. Now, right now, this moment, this very moment, right now, to appear in the presence of God for us. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful assurance tonight. This is precious to me. And who appears? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where does he appear? Into heaven itself, in the presence of God. Why does he appear? He appears for me. And he appears for you. And he appears for us. That's me and that's you. And where does he appear? He appears in heaven right now. Right now, we who are saved have. Now, this is wonderful. I've been saved for all these years, but I still have the old man, just like you do, whether you realize it or not. And we have the sin nature that causes us, as Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present. That which I would do, that I don't do, I do not, because of the old man that dwells in me. And but when we fail the Lord, and the devil accuses us, the Lord Jesus says he belongs to me, and I've saved him with my own blood. And a wonderful verse of scripture is 1 John 2:1, where it says, "My little children." Now I'm told I had a little Greek a long time ago. I've forgotten it, but had 19 hours of Greek, I think, but I didn't follow it through. But I understand little children means here, my little born ones. If you're born again, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now, it's God's will for us not sin. But he knows we're going to sin because we have a sinful nature. And he makes adequate preparation for us. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So, this very minute, folks, right tonight, this very minute, over in heaven, someone is pleading my cause and your cause in the glory world. That's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, isn't it? And Methodist and too. Can't get a shout out of most of these Baptists, though. They're shouted about Trump giving us my tax break, but you can't get them to shout about their sins being forgiven, though. But anyway, let me get back on this here. I'm following the clock here. But, you know, the thing is, I told, as I was in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for 46 years, and I said the best Christians at Buffalo Ridge, and this is any church, and this church too, the best Christians in this church are the best repenters. Now stop and think about that. And I'm a preacher, and I think that I'm trying to live right, been trying to for a long time. But you know, it seems like every day that the Holy Spirit convicts me of things that I shouldn't do. And then if we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I don't know why I did that. But Lord, that thought I had, or my wife, sass my wife back or something like that." And the Lord convicted me. And you know that we have to repent to stay right with God. And so I thank God that Jesus is over there tonight and interceding for us. So right now, that's his present tense, right now what he's doing for us. He's appearing in the presence of God for us. And then let's look at it, the future tense in verse 28, the third work of Christ in the future tense, verse 28. "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, one of the greatest truths in the Word of God is that Jesus is coming back to this earth. Amen. And I believe it's soon, folks. Now, I don't know. Nobody knows what day, what hour, but I believe it's soon. And I think John 14:2-3, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," what did he say he'd do? "I will come again." And so Billy Graham said it right the other day when he said that we're living in the Noah days. And I believe all across America, the problem is not Democrats and Republicans. The problem is America's turned from God. That's why we're having all the confusion we're having here today. Our nation was founded on the Word of God. Now we've turned from it. And I won't go into all the things. Well, I could in my own church, but I don't know. But listen, well, I better not get on all these issues today. Since I'm in my own church, I would. But let me get back on my notes here. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, and Jesus said, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Right before Jesus comes back, we're going to have the Noah days reenacted. And America's, he's going to have a nationwide revival. Or we're going to suffer the judgment of God. One of the two. I mean, we've turned from God. And I believe it's at the coming of the Lord draws nigh. And the angels were second coming preachers. In Acts 1:11, the angels, as Jesus was taken up from them, the disciples, and taken above the treetops and above the clouds and on back into glory, as the disciples were looking, as the Son of Man was taken from them. He'd come into this world, died, and he was resurrected, and now Jesus is taken from them. And the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? For this same, I love that, for this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall be come again in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he is coming back again. Let me get my notes all right here. I've got about 6 or 7 minutes left here. So what's that? Well, you told me 7:30, I thought. Okay, well, I'll just keep on then. But anyway, the threefold work of Christ, he hath appeared for our salvation. He came into this world and died for our salvation, shed his precious blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And he doth now appear over there for our sanctification. And he shall appear for our glorification. You know, one thing I believe in the second coming of Christ, and I believe we're going to be caught up and be with him, but it says, we shall be like him, for we'll see him as he is. I don't know what that means. It sounds pretty good to me, though. I try to live for the Lord, but I'm not like Jesus now. My wife will testify to that. But one day, I'm going to be like him. I don't know what all that means. But when I see him, and you are too if you're saved, and we'll be changed into his likeness. Amen. For we'll see him as he is. That's why we ought to keep on keeping on. Listen, all this bunch, if they want to go to hell, I want to see them saved. But if they want, nothing we can do about it. If they want to go deep into these awful sins, let them go. But folks, let's stay true to the Lord. Living separated life. Standing on the Word of God. And it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. He's coming. We'll see him and be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, and be caught into his presence. And then in that day, we'll be like Jesus and be with him for all eternity. But now, I've got a few moments. I'll just go ahead and talk about the appointments of men, of man in this passage. Look at verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And because of Adam's sin in the garden, where we like it or not, some people might rebel at this, but because of Adam's sin, the curse of sin and death is upon us. The Bible says, as in Adam, all die. And so I had a funeral here a while back, and this man's, he had visited his wife in the hospital, and they said she's doing better there in Johnson City, Tennessee. And he thought he could run home for a few minutes. And as soon as he got home, they said, your wife is taken a turn for the worst. And before he got back, she had passed on into eternity. And I had a funeral just a few days later. And because of Adam's sin in the garden, the curse of sin and death is upon us. And the Bible says, in Adam all die. And I went off to play a little football, and the Lord started calling me to preach between my junior and senior years in high school. But I was shy and bashful, and I just couldn't ever see myself getting up in front of a crowd like this. And I believe the Lord had me play just to go get me let the devil educate me there with a football scholarship. After my junior year, and during spring practice, I surrendered to be a preacher. I finally said, got on my knees at midnight, went out on the golf course, and got down on my knees and said, "Lord, for about 4 years, I thought you had called me to preach, and I didn't think I could ever do it, but if I make the biggest flop that ever got behind a pulpit, I'm going to preach." I was going to go ahead and play football one more year and teach and coach football and preach on the side. But the Lord wanted me full time to go out full time, preach Jesus full time and the Word of God. And so that summer I went with some up to Alaska as a summer missionary. When I was out praying, it felt like if I hadn't surrendered to preach, didn't surrender to preach, that my father's life was going to be taken. Now, I don't know if that was just a premonition or the Lord speaking to me, but then when I was in Alaska after my junior year in college, and I picked up the phone one day, and my pastor at the Oak Street Baptist Church, Brother Renault, said, "Gene, you're going to have to come home. Your father was killed in a car wreck at Red Bank, Tennessee today." And I knew right then, because I didn't surrender to go out and be full-time in the ministry, the Lord took, I felt twice that premonition. So I just wrote the coach at Southern Mississippi and told him I wouldn't be back. I was going into ministry. And I played in the Sun Bowl on January the 1st. Surrendered to preach, and was cleaning restrooms at Bob Jones University, and selling shoes on at Penny's on a weekend to pay my way through now, where I had a free scholarship otherwise. And years later, I give them a testimony. My secretary said, "Well, Preacher Lashley, your testimony ought to be called from the Sun Bowl to the Toilet Bowl." But here I was playing in the Sun Bowl in January the 1st, and in April, September, I was cleaning restrooms at Bob Jones University. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad I surrendered to preach. I've been at it 60-something years now, and God has been good to me. It took my father's life for me to cut all the strings and go out preaching Jesus and preaching the old King James Version. And I'm glad I surrendered. But James says that life on death. And, you know, we can't be morbid about this thing, but we have to be realistic. Life, James says, life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanish away. So, I was at Buffalo Ridge pastoring. I went to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, which was way out in a rural area. And I thought, well, I'll go out here in this little church and start learning to preach, and I'll go be a city preacher. But the Lord would never let me leave. And I stayed there 46 years. He just brought the people out to me there. But I was at 40... For 46 years at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and it seemed just like a vapor that passed away. Just that's what the Bible says. It's a vapor. Life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. First Chronicles 20, 29:15 says, our days on earth are as a shadow, and none of us are abiding, the Bible says. The wise Solomon in Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Old Dr. Bob Jones, when I went over to Bob Jones University, old Dr. Bob Jones Sr., I mean, some of you older people might have remembered him, but he's one of the greatest men that ever walked in shoe leather on this continent. I mean, I got over there, and he could preach the fear of God down. I mean, it almost scared me to listen to him preach. He preached the fear of God. And he said one of the deepest philosophical thoughts that ever came across his mind was when, as a young boy in southeast Alabama, it dawned on me that I'm going to live somewhere forever. So, folks, now we need to realize, every one of us, I don't know most of you, some of you I do, but we need to realize that we're going to live somewhere forever. And we need to, when you breathe your first breath as a baby, you gain life. And listen, you'll never die. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, though he live, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You'll just close your eyes here and wake up in the presence of the Lord if you're saved. And if you're not born again, you close your eyes here and wake up in the regions of the damned. Now, a lot of people don't like that kind of preaching, David, folks. You better realize that you're one heartbeat away from eternity. And let me get back to my notes. I'm getting a long way from my notes here. But in Luke 16, I have about 20 of you say, I got a few more minutes to persecute the saints here. So, but in Luke 16, Lazarus was a pauper, and the dogs came and licked his sores as he laid at the rich man's gate, waiting for some food, some crumbs to fall from the rich man's table. But one day Lazarus died, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom, which is paradise. And the Bible says for a Christian, one day we who are saved are going to die. But absent from the body, the Bible says, is be present with the Lord. But then the rich man, the Bible says in Luke 16, in the rich man one day also died, and as soon as he closed his eyes here in death, the Bible says in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments. And verse 24 says, he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He didn't want a gallon of water. He didn't want a glass full of water. He just wanted him to take the tip of his finger and put just a drop of water on his tongue because he's tormented in this flame. 50 years will get probably three-fourths of the people sitting here tonight. And 75 years will get 95% of us sitting right here. And 100 years from now, we'll get everyone in this building. And where will you be 100 years from tonight? I may never see you anymore. So as a gospel preacher, you ought to tonight, if you don't know you're saved and know you're right with God, you ought to have the courage to, well, you can't come down to Al or here tonight, but in where you sit, you can ask Jesus to forgive you your sins and come into your heart right where you sit if you're not sure you're saved. Have you counted the cost if your soul should be lost? Even though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you've crossed. Have you counted the cost? Jesus said in Mark 8:36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And so tonight, as I close this message, maybe you need revival. You say, preacher, I'm saved, but I need revival. I need a new touch from God. Or maybe you're not sure you're saved. You ought to come to this pastor here tonight if you're not sure you're saved, and get this thing settled before you leave here. Father, we thank you for this privilege of coming here tonight and opening a book and reading these verses and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And Lord, speak to our hearts, I pray. And if somebody here needs a touch from God tonight, I pray they'll make that surrender to him. And maybe someone here that's not sure they're saved will come to this pastor and say, Pastor, I want to know that I know that I know that I'm saved before I leave here tonight. And give him the privilege of seeing somebody saved tonight to be your precious will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Craig, would you have young people come in? We'll let them come right through first before we move, if you don't mind. Let the young people come in.